The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge. Watching us on the PCTV Select app. Or possibly also tuning into Channel 1301, Access Pittsfield, on your cable dial. Sean Sayre here with you this morning. It's Thursday, July 16th. Happy to have you along and watching or listening. Always appreciate you coming into the show here. And we are live this morning on the 16th of July, already midway through the month. Hard to believe already. We've got a great show for you this morning. We've got the mayor of the city of Pittsfield, Mr. Peter Marchetti, his honor, here for the entire hour this morning, talking about a lot of things going on in the city. You would think maybe summertime quiets down a little bit. But nothing of the kind. Maybe just a few fewer city council meetings to watch and listen to. That's about it. But things still happen in this summer in the city here in Pittsfield. So we'll talk to the mayor about all of that in just a moment. First, let's get to our weather forecast. I'm looking out the window right now and I'm seeing blue instead of like that orange haze that we saw yesterday. So maybe we'll do a little better today, although I am hearing it's going to get worse. So I guess maybe enjoy the blue sky while you can. Here we go, the weather forecast from the National Weather Service.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, partly cloudy. Patchy smoke. Cooler with lows in the upper 50s. West wind around 5 miles per hour. Thursday, sunny. Areas of smoke in the morning, then smoke in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 80s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, increasing to around 15 miles per hour in the afternoon. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Thursday night, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Smoke in the evening. Patchy smoke after midnight. Lows in the mid-50s. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour, diminishing to around 5 miles per hour after midnight. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Well, so we will have some smoke a little later today, and if anyone went through that yesterday, you'll know that that is a weird, weird feeling, right? You get out there and It doesn't feel right, doesn't smell right. You know, it feels like some of those scenes from Breaking Bad, you know, when they went down to Mexico. Do you remember that?
I was thinking Independence Day when the world starts to get dark.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely apocalyptic.
Yeah, it was weird.
Very strange. Does the city, by the way, good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, good morning.
How are you? So does the city do anything for the smoke alerts? Do you have any air quality notices or anything like that
out? We posted an air quality notice yesterday after the state did, just notifying folks. I mean, there's not much that can be done.
Right.
Stay inside, close windows.
Keep air conditioners on if you can, yeah, definitely don't let the smoke in if you can avoid it.
I mean, I didn't smell as bad as I think we did last year. Mm. It was just a weird haziness. Could barely see the sun. Looked like it was nighttime or, you know, close to dusk.
Yeah. Not a great idea to do outdoor activities, although there are people that work outdoors and can't avoid that.
Right.
Probably not a bad idea to wear a mask if you can. It is very fine particulate matter, and as you say, there's not much you can do about it. It's coming our way one way or the other today. I guess by tomorrow, most of it's going to clear. Who knows what's going to happen after that, but today, later, I guess enjoy the blue sky now and keep an eye out of the skies for later on today. So it seems like, and I'm looking through various news stories and things that are happening in the city here in the middle of July, and there's still a lot going on. A lot of it seems to be centering around housing, which obviously has been kind of a theme since you became mayor. That was certainly a big issue with housing, homelessness, all kinds of, you know, the shortage of housing, how expensive housing is, all those kinds of things. So a number of things your administration has put in place to address these things, and they're starting to, you know, maybe come to fruition in some ways. Let's start with the what's going on downtown Pittsfield with the St. Joe building, which was, I think, built in the 40s as a school, potentially 40s or 50s. I'm not sure exactly.
Maybe a little sooner, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So we hosted the housing secretary last week, I think, or the week before. Every day seems to kind of just blend together. But we toured her through. We started at St. Joe, and did a walkthrough of the building for David Carver, showing the possibility of that. Rehabilitation of the school. There will be 19 units on the upper floors, and the lower floor will be a preschool or pre-K addition for the YMCA.
Okay.
Expanding over into that. So again, taking a non-taxable building, redeveloping it and putting it back on the tax rolls and adding some housing units. That day when we were there, we also then took a walk down to the Wright building and toured that building. It's probably 97% complete. For the most part, it's all leased up, ready for folks to move in. And that, I'm talking the residential piece. There's still some work to be done in the commercial spaces that they have there. And then we took her to both the first and the Pearl, so she could see our shelter and our daytime facility. And we also talked different housing projects that we have on the horizon and, you know, kind of showing her, you know, look what we've done over the last 20 years and look at the Wright building and look at Terrace 592. Look what we want to do to St. Joe. Look at the Howard and Anoda buildings, look at Dunham Mall, soon to be the former Berkshire Bank property. So those kind of things. We talked about Hibbert School and our plans to develop that into housing. And for all of this, it comes down to cost. And when you're looking at upwards of $500,000 per unit to develop housing, it's pretty expensive. And so we can't do that without state assistance. And there are two programs that we're really using all the time. And, you know, there was just the announcement for the Berkshire Bank building of $4 million.
Yeah, that seems to be very transformational, right?
Right.
When you get $4 million in for a project that could, conform an old building, obviously one that is a cornerstone of the Pittsfield downtown, that pop corner building, if you will, the old Berkshire County Savings Bank. I think it was probably built in the mid-1800s. You know, iconic building, right?
for
Pittsfield, to then change that use from a typical corporate use over to housing. Obviously, there's some big things that have to be done to make that a reality, but also just to kick it off, just to say, okay, there's an investment to start that process, and it could become a reality.
And it becomes like the city-state partnership because we offer the tax increment exceptions for these kind of projects that allow the development to be, allows the entity to get going, allows people to start renting, and then you phase in the additional tax increases from the modifications that they've done. And I know a lot of times folks are like, well, why are you giving me a tax break? Well, if you want to be able to achieve better, larger tax revenues from that building, it's not possible to do the $19 million renovation and all the other stuff that's going on and pay your taxes. So if you phase it in, right, while they're doing all the construction, they're making no money. Right, it's all cost, it's all development, and so it takes a little bit of time for them to get at least out, rents coming in, you know, paying back whatever that they need to pay back and increase. But every time that we either give a TIF or a TIE, longer term, there's hundreds of thousands of dollars of extra tax revenue that the city receives, sure, there's, you know, money that we're not receiving. But if the work didn't get done, we wouldn't be getting anything.
You wouldn't have the project at all.
So it's kind of like you help.
It seems like it's a long-term strategy when you use those instruments, right? The TIF, which is a tax incremental.
Incremental finance or tax incremental exemption, depending upon whether we're talking a commercial or a real estate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it helps all of the processes, right? And so
it kind of greases the wheels, right? You got to get the project started. And if you don't get the project started, we've seen what happens with buildings in Pittsfield and other places that don't ever get that development. They sit there, they degrade, the roof caves in, it falls apart, and somebody has to knock it down, and now you have an empty lot.
Right.
And, you know, so it's a cycle that if you don't interrupt that, you don't get in and say, okay, no, we're going to provide the spark to get something to happen.
Right.
That's
and
the difference.
It's the first step, right? Mm-hmm. It signifies to the state that the city's behind this project and the city's willing to do this. And so if you take Berkshire Bank, and I don't know the numbers, but let's just say over 20 years, they saved $300,000 in taxes through this process. Mm-hmm. Well, that just helped them secure $4 million, right? And then they need to build on. And what I think Director Dodds is really good at is paying attention to the projects and where we can kind of map them out. And, you know, the city, going back more than a decade, was really good at adopting to the HDIP funding and the HDIP regulations and
And I don't know what those are. Tell me what an HDIP is. It's a state
housing incentive development program.
Okay.
And there's also the LIHTC, which is for lower income affordable housing piece. Mm-hmm. The state just recently in February, when the governor was here, announced the commercial tax conversion credits. So that's the Berkshire Bank building. We're converting a commercial entity into, so that's some new funding. And also part as the governor's really large housing bill was this momentum fund that the city and partners are trying to figure out how to use. It's a pretty large dollar fund, but there are certain criteria that you need to meet. And one of them is the housing project needs to be 50 units or more. Hmm. And in Pittsfield, we don't have the capacity in some cases to really come up with a 50 plus unit. So
it's really a plan built for larger cities and larger communities,
but
where
also
they have buildings that can handle that.
Also, they're open to conversations.
Okay.
So show us the need, show us what you're saying that Pittsfield can't do this, and maybe we can tailor something that works. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that's, where we need to be. We know we need the housing. We know that we need all types, right? We need the permanent supportive housing for those that are either houseless or, you know, living in the shelter. We need that. We need affordable housing. For some, we need market rate housing. We need affordable housing for seniors. We need market rate housing for seniors.
Yeah.
And then we need first-time home buyer opportunities. Mm-hmm. And right now, with interest rates being where they are and the housing supply being very minimal, it's not the time for a first-time home buyer to be like, hey, let's go out and do this.
Yeah. It's bad news for folks that are just coming into that time of their lives, though, where they're just starting to maybe get married, get a family together, you know, start growing as you would at that time, and then run into that roadblock, right, of saying, oh, but there's no housing supply. And even if there was, I can't afford it because I can't get a down payment together and the interest rates are too high. And it just makes it feel like you'll never do it, right? I mean, it's a bad time right now.
Well, the argument of what's cheaper, a mortgage or rent, 15 years ago, it was clearly you could get a mortgage for 3%.
Right.
You could do a 20 or 30 year mortgage, depending upon the terms that you came up with, and you could get your mortgage to be cheaper than your rent.
Right.
And today's day and age is, I don't know that that's possible.
Yeah. Feels like you get squeezed on both ends of that equation, right? The rent is definitely too high. And at the same time, you know, owning is not a walk in the park. And the other problem, of course, is that people with those 3% mortgages, they have no incentive really to move on and do anything else. They'll just stay there and say, hey, I can't get, you know, any kind of good deal, you know, south of 7% in some cases. So I'm staying right where I am. And that kind of freezes the entire market. Pittsfield's not, it's not unique to Pittsfield. Right. It's happening everywhere.
Well, I think that's where you see an elder person, 4-bedroom home. Mm-hmm. I raised my 5 kids in this home. My spouse has passed on. Mm-hmm. I've got no place to go, right? There is no easy next step for senior housing. So folks are staying in the homes that they're in because there's no place else to go.
Yeah. We're speaking on Morning Drive this morning with Pittsfield Mayor Peter Marchetti. And again, this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Lots going on in the housing market right now, not only in Pittsfield, but everywhere. And that that $4 million from the state, that was announced soon after the governor was here. Not the governor, the housing secretary.
The governor was here as well.
Yeah. And so, again, that makes a huge difference. And knowing that the state government, the state administration sees Pittsfield and sees that there are needs here. I'm sure that, you know, they have to look at everything throughout the state. There's lots of needy communities, but looking at that project and seeing that that has the ability of transforming this one area. How did that all come to be? And when did you learn about the $4 million grant?
Well, we were helpful in assisting Allegroni to apply. Mm-hmm. We learned shortly there after the secretary was here. Whenever there's this type of grants, they do funding rounds, and so 5 or 6 communities get awarded the monies. Mm-hmm. We get the invitation maybe a couple days after the secretary had left to say on this date, this round of announcements was down in Taunton. Mm-hmm. And you don't get months notice that this is going to happen or even a couple weeks notice. So sometimes you don't fit it in the calendar and you can't go. Mm-hmm. I know 2 years ago, July of 24, was when Allegroni also won the award for the Wright Building. Mm-hmm. Kind of, I think it was $4.5 million. Then mm-hmm. We found out it was in Lowell. We had the ability to go. So Director Dodds and I went off to support Lou Allegroni and team mm-hmm. at that event. But you don't really get tons of notice, but for the city, there's been very few HDIP projects that the city has supported through the process that hasn't made it through. Mm-hmm. And if we go back to last February, when then Housing Secretary Augustus was here, he was very clear that Pittsfield has figured out how to use HDIP funding and how to use the state resources for housing in the right way. And you know, I think that that's the important piece. And then, you know, we're talking the big pieces. Mm-hmm. Right? $4 million here, $4 million there. We're talking the big pieces, but the city is also trying to help in small ways. And mm-hmm. you mentioned this when we got here about the nonprofit housing developers.
Right.
So
that's it's a very innovative program, right?
To
find a way to have people apply to get to 1 or 2 family homes renovated or in the ones that are vacant, right? Is that what it is?
So it's a, and tomorrow's the deadline to submit an RFP, so very timely that we're doing this, that we're looking for qualified developers to transform vacant 1 and 2 family homes into high-quality, affordable homes that are income-eligible for first-time home buyers. Mm-hmm. And when we say that, we're talking folks that are in the 80 to 100%. 20% of the area median income.
Okay.
And so, you know, again, small program. There's not major dollars there. Mm-hmm.
But every bit helps here.
Correct.
Right, yeah. And when some of these larger projects like the Berkshire Bank building or the St. Joe project happen, it takes a developer. So in one case, it's Allegroni. In another case, it's Dave Carver from Scarafone. And, you know, what happens after the transformation completes? Who owns the building then? Who operates the building? Is it those same developers? Is that how that works?
Yeah. So through the whole process, right, the developers own the property. Mm-hmm. If we talk Allegroni's, they purchased all of that. They purchased the Berkshire Bank building. If we talk Terrace 592, it's Reagan Development who purchased the building. Mm-hmm. David Carver just finished. He and his partners just finished closing on St. Joe, so they now own and can and move forward that project. In the case of Reagan Development and Terrace 592, they have contracted with Hathaway to manage the property.
Okay.
I think Allegroni's manage their own. I'm trying to think if David Carver manages his own. I think that's under maybe Scarafone Associates that manage that property.
And so while we're still on housing, let's talk about a story that's in the paper today, which regards the executive director of the Pittsfield Housing Authority, which I didn't realize manages as many as 700 units of housing throughout the city. Tell us a little bit about the PHA to sort of lay the groundwork here for what that is, what the organization does, and then we can talk about the specifics.
So Pittsfield Housing Authority was created probably in the 40s. Mm-hmm. And their job, basically, if we talk about the, you know, the management team, they're managing tons of properties, Columbia Arms, Dower Square, Rose Manor, to name a couple of them.
Yep.
And their responsibility is, you know, leasing, renovations, upkeep of the property.
And are those properties city owned?
They are not city owned. And the whole Pittsfield Housing Authority, as much control as the city has, is that the mayor has the opportunity to appoint people to the Housing Authority board.
Okay. And then the board hires.
And then the board hires the executive director and has oversight of the management.
Right.
And so if we talk about today's paper, and I don't want to go into a ton of detail because
it's
a personnel matter under investigation. The board has exercised its rights and looking to, you know, explore. You know, I don't think that this is the first time that we've opened the front page of the paper and saw that the Pittsfield Housing Authority was on the front page.
Right.
And so where are we?
Fair to say some of the investigation will center around recent decisions about outdoor things, right? Like barbecue grills or pools or kids' toys or things like that, where there was an edict that came down that said, no, you can't have these things outside. And that does really affect people's quality of life, right?
So, I mean, I think that's an obvious. I think the other piece, and, you know, as we talk about housing, we talked about that they're responsible for the management of the property, the leasing of the apartments. You know, at one point in time, I learned maybe 6 months ago the double-digit number of units that were vacant that weren't ready to be rented out. I think that also might play a part in the investigation that we have these apartments and we have these people that need them. Where's the plan to, you know, expedite whatever needs to happen?
And how quickly can they get turned over and get ready for people to occupy?
Correct. And I guess it depends, right? But if someone lived there for 3 months and left, do you have to rip out the carpet and do you have to put new appliances and do you need to put, or is it possible just a coat of fresh paint is all that the property needs?
Right.
But you know, I know that that was an issue that we had talked about several months ago, ensuring, and it kind of bubbled up from people in the community that you know, we need housing and we have vacancies. So,
And I guess the other bigger question isn't so much about this one investigation and about one specific, you know, instance or multiple that are leading to the executive director now on administrative paid leave while they make the investigation. I guess the bigger question is structural, right? Is there enough transparency? Are residents' concerns being met correctly? Are there better ways that these things can be done to improve that process going forward? Is that a board thing versus a management and executive director thing? Is it really more structural?
Well, I mean, I guess it could be a combination of both. Mm. You know, I think the board has been pretty active with management oversight.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes things happen quickly. And if someone's making management decisions, you don't know about them until you make the wrong ones. Right. I think
when you get the blowback, you certainly realize that may have not been the most wise decision to make.
Right. Well, and it's kind of like a controversial issue that the city may have. It gets brought up. It gets referred off to subcommittee. Mm-hmm. It's discussed at subcommittee. It may or may not make media mm-hmm. through that process. And then it goes back to city council for a final vote. And it makes media,
mm-hmm.
and everyone's right. going, "What's going on?"
Right, I've never heard about this.
Well, we've been talking about it for 3 months.
Yeah,
so it's that kind of stuff that stuff doesn't always bubble over immediately, and it takes the time. And so again, you know, I think the gas grill piece bubbled very quickly.
Yeah,
but other stuff, you know, bubbles slowly and. Again,
it seems to bubble also in social media quite a bit. And I think at least on the city side, when you're dealing with issues that come before city council subcommittees or even school committee subcommittees and then up to the city council or the school committee, it's had chance to be out in the open that people have been discussing. You can watch the meetings if you want. You know, all the issues are out there and you can comment on them. On something like this where it's a little bit, you know, I guess not as wide open as a city meeting, these issues only come around probably by person to person or rumor or social media or something. And then those things can really get out of control very quickly.
Well, true. And, you know, interestingly enough, Pittsfield Housing Authority being a quasi-public entity mm-hmm. kind of falls maybe under some of the guidance that PCTV board does. And so it's an open meeting. You've got to post it.
Right.
The public can come.
Yeah.
But
do they?
Do they?
Or only when there's a big problem.
Right. Or only when. And so, you know, in an ideal world, we'd have 5,000 PCTV employees that could cover every single meeting that happens in the city, no matter what it is, so that everyone. But again, how many people are paying attention, right? Or how many people are following it all the way through? Or do you hear a tidbit?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, for me, and I know people say it all the time that I get really defensive about social media. I guess it serves the purpose for some, but when we continue to post unfactual stuff and then it just grows a life of its own,
right?
It kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Brings you down.
The problem is that it's harder and harder to understand what is the factual stuff.
Correct.
And what is the rumor or the unsubstantiated. I mean, we saw that with the PHS report, for example, where all of that went sky high and suddenly, you know, the investigator came in and said, well, there's really nothing to substantiate that.
Right.
Well, what are you going to do?
You know, for me, it's the recent, and we can talk about it after the break, but it's the Disability Day mm-hmm. Pride flag raising that has created a completely false narrative in the social media world about what it was. And it's kind of disappointing because I don't know how celebrating the signing of the ADA and recognizing that folks with disabilities should be able to get jobs and live life like the rest of us, mm-hmm. and accommodation should be made so that they could, has created this huge, oh my God, now we have a gay pride for disabled people, which has nothing to do with it. And it's disability, right? So if you're any person in the world, including veterans who are disabled, mm-hmm. this day is for you. And all of the social media chatter that took place, of course, I think it was all centered on, let's just beat up the mayor for something, and that's okay. But losing sight of what it really was, yeah. and I think, you know,
it's hard to be imagine that it would be controversial in any way.
Well, and 36 years ago, who would have thought that we would have created the American with Disabilities Act and,
right.
and started? And so the name maybe doesn't fit what it is, mm-hmm. but if you Google it, you get a whole explanation of what it's all about. And it's nothing about what's being chatted about on social media.
Yeah. And it was a nice ceremony. I was there, and PCTV accepted a recognition, which I thought was, we were humbled and honored about that. We talked about that yep. earlier, but it was for our closed captioning efforts here to get our programming widely more accessible to people so that everybody can participate.
But Sean, right? who cares about that? Well, I can watch TV just fine. Why does it matter, right? I mean, and that's the piece.
Yeah.
That's why we were there. That's why we were celebrating it. That's why we were recognizing that, you know, and it, I said it that day, the height of a toilet matters.
Mm-hmm.
I never think about it.
No.
The height of a bed at a hotel room matters.
Right.
I never think about it. The cracks in the sidewalk matter. But
only to someone who's got to deal with it all the time. And so
correct.
Until you put yourself in those shoes
correct.
And try it yourself and say, you know what, this is really hard. Why isn't this fixed? You know, that's when you start noticing, but only when you need to.
Right.
And so this is why it's really important for all of us to take notice of that. Peter Marchetti, the mayor of the city of Pittsfield, here on Morning Drive this morning. We're going to take that top of the hour break, as we always do. Thank our underwriters and do our station ID. And we'll be back with more with the mayor in just a moment on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
Will you be an angel for our WTBR DJs? Every day our DJs are cold, hungry, sad, and lonely, and they are crying out for help. For only 30 cents per day, WTBR can provide them with clean studios, microphones, audio board, and much, much more. Go to WTBRFM.com and click the donate button and become a friend of WTBR. For only $8.97 per month, you can put some smiles on these faces. WTBR, for the love of radio.
Are you ready to volunteer? Does your organization need volunteers? Let Berkshire United Way be your guide. We can help you use your time and talent to serve people in our community. Visit volunteerberkshireuw.org or call us at 413-442-6948 to get started or learn more. Again, that's 413-442-6948.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Larry Kratka here on WTBR, and I want to tell you about my show, Sweet Country Music. Now, every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. until noon, I'll play some of the best classic country artists like Merle Haggard, Dolly Parton, Johnny Cash, Patsy Cline, and many more. I'll play nothing before 2008. Please join me Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for the next edition of Sweet Country Music here on 89.7 WTBR FM. For the love of radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu.
And from Sandrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge, on the PCTV Select app, which is free to download, by the way, and on your cable channel. 1301, Sean Sayre here with you this morning, 8.05 on Thursday, the 16th of July, midway through the month of July. I'm looking outside, and it is still blue sky, so enjoy that while you can. We are hearing more smoke headed our way today. More of the dystopian orange coming. Hopefully it's not as bad as yesterday, but I'm not hearing any good things. And then we'll do the weather forecast and right back to the conversation with Mayor Peter Marchetti in just a moment. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, partly cloudy. Patchy smoke. Cooler with lows in the upper 50s. West wind around 5 miles per hour. Thursday, sunny. Areas of smoke in the morning, then smoke in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 80s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, increasing to around 15 miles per hour in the afternoon. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Thursday night, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Smoke in the evening. Patchy smoke after midnight. Lows in the mid-50s. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour, diminishing to around 5 miles per hour after midnight. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it. So if you do see that smoke creep back in today, remember to try and stay inside if you can. Limit your outdoor exposure. Try not to breathe it in. Keep your air conditioners on. You kind of know the drill by now. That is what we've got to do here in the summer as these wildfires are affecting our everyday life. And, you know, we look out and we hopefully, get a few nice days in the summer. And we almost had one yesterday, but I guess there are no clouds in the sky, but it sure looked like it.
Right.
My goodness. All right. So back with Mayor Peter Marchetti. Thanks again for being here this morning talking about, we did a lot of stuff on housing in the first half. Let's talk about the audit of the city of Pittsfield, which is an annual event, right? Something that happens every year. There's more discussion about it this year for some reason. What's going on with that?
Well, you know, as I kind of said on Tuesday night, we all, I guess, were sharing our disappointments. Back in 2013, when the city voted to adopt the new charter, mm-hmm. the new charter gave the power of hiring the audit firm to the city council.
Okay.
And I don't think many of us paid attention to that piece. Mm-hmm. And it was maybe 2019 when I was council president and I saw it, or it was bubbling up that we weren't doing it. Mm-hmm. So I went to our purchasing department that does procurement and said, this is here. This is what we need to do. She continued to tell me that auditing services is exempt from putting out RFPs and trying to procure. But I reiterated that the charter says this. So we put out an RFP. When you do an RFP, you then have to have an evaluating committee. So I chose myself mm-hmm. and Finance Director Kerwood. And at that point in time, the accountant, we made a decision and we brought it to City Council for approval so that the council was part of it. Council Warren said, that's not right. And I said, well, where is it wrong? And where's the directions? And I think from that time, there's been something sitting, waiting, for the city council to take up this action. The contract was a 3-year contract, so I could be out of time, and maybe the contract ended with fiscal year 24. at one point in time, I signed a agreement with our auditing firm, recognizing thereafter that the contract had expired. But so we went through fiscal year 25. We've all known for more than a year that this is the case. Mm-hmm. I think we've had petition for 5 years. So we shouldn't be in the place that we're in right now.
So the charter basically says that how often do we have to get a new proposal for auditing services? If the contract is 3 years or 5 years, is there a requirement for that?
I think it's three or every 5 years.
And so that needs to be supposedly, according to the charter, reevaluated in that time period every time.
And
that's the job of the city council or the mayor?
It's the job of the city council, to hire the auditing firm with the new charter. Mm-hmm. And so I say I'm disappointed. I'm not. This isn't a blame President Persip or blame. We've all known that there needed to be a process because the charter was written with a lot of ambiguity. Mm-hmm. And so we needed to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And so the hard part for me is the fiscal year ended June 30th. We are closing out the year end on our part. You know, the next step is reaching out to the audit firm and saying, when are you coming in to do the audit? And that's on pause because we don't know who's doing the audit.
So it typically happens after the close of the fiscal year, after June 30th. Right. And is there a window of time when that usually has to get done by? Is it 3 months or something like that?
Well, so the charter specifies that the audit has to be done by March 1st.
Okay. So you get 6 months or 9 months.
Well, yeah. Kind of.
Technically, yeah.
Kind of, but it's now July. Mm-hmm. The next council meeting is August 11th, so we're now down to 7 months. Mm. There aren't thousands of auditing firms, and these auditing firms already have clients.
Right,
and so
some of them are not taking on new clients.
Those who are staying in July or August, okay, I'm scheduling all my clients for when I'm coming to your area, and we reach out end of October or end of August saying we'd like to have you do our stuff. Are they doing it in November and December and January like they normally do? Or are they starting in January, February, and March? Mm. Right?
And it's a long process, right? It's not a simple thing. It's a
lengthy process. Mm-hmm. But then it kind of holds some other stuff. The mayor's required to hold a joint school committee city council meeting to talk about the state of the city. Mm-hmm. Do I need that audit? Or at least the background of the audit, if it's not done, to be part of that meeting, part of that conversation. In all the years that we've done that meeting, we've always had the auditor present for the meeting. Mm-hmm. You know, I know I might have ruffled Councillor Warren's feathers by saying what I said at the meeting, but we're quickly to say, well, there was 1 year that we didn't have that. That's great. Wasn't under my administration, right? So stop throwing things. And I'll take part of the responsibility because I was on the council. But the council had a really long time to come up with a solution. Mm-hmm. It's not the current advisory committee chair, Councillor Cunningham's fault. He's brand new to this process. Mm-hmm. It's the people, and there were petitions from Councillor Warren for years to develop this process. Mm. And so
the process itself is still not agreed upon.
Well, and that's where they're at right now and trying to see that through. I mean, for me, I went to the procurement officer. I found out what the process was. I used it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't acceptable. So I don't know that I need to come up with another process. I went to, and I did. If you don't like it, they come up with another one. Mm-hmm. But that's where we're at right now, is that there was never an alternative brought forward. So we'll sit back and wait for that piece to be done. Yeah. And, you know, we'll survive. Right?
Certainly we'll be looking at what happens with that at the August and maybe potentially September city council meetings. But it will certainly have to get done within a timely window, right, before you don't have a chance to bring any auditor in, and then that would be much worse. to say that. All right, let's move on to the West Nile virus found here in Pittsfield again. It seems to be every summer we do get some evidence of West Nile coming through. And then, of course, that's a mosquito-borne illness. So then we start having conversations about the Berkshire County Mosquito Program. Tell me what you think of the effectiveness of the mosquito program. Are they doing what needs to be done to fight these viruses, that and triple E, Eastern equine encephalitis, I think is what it's called, or is that a waste of money? Should we be doing something different?
So I think more emphasis needs to be on prevention. And so when we're talking April, May, June,
before the season ramps right up,
the attacking the larva, all of the preventative stuff that nobody sees, we're not spraying. It's in the isolated places where we know the mosquitoes are waiting to be hatched, for lack of a better term. And so
Like the areas that we always worry about are the ones like near the King Street and the Pittsfield Cemetery. That seems to be a hotbed right over there.
Water base.
Yeah.
Areas. Mm-hmm. That Noblehurst off of Pomeroy Ave
right.
area.
Mm-hmm.
That is another highly impacted Holmes Road with the river there. Those are all like heavily impacted stuff.
Yeah.
And so if you look at it for mosquitoes, to me, it's the perfect storm, right? So if you have a really, really rainy spring and a really, really hot early summer, it's the perfect storm for thousands of mosquitoes.
Yeah.
If you don't have an extremely wet spring, then you're less likely to have. But I think if you look at the data, is one positive case enough to kind of raise the panic, right? Even if there's none, we should still be saying when you go out in public for extended periods of time, especially when you're going to certain areas, you should apply bug spray, lotion, whatever it is. You should cover up.
Yep.
I guess it's the same as ticks, right? If you're going to go on a hike,
tuck your pants
into your socks.
Yep.
Wear white colored socks so that you can see the ticks. Wear light colored clothing so that you can see all the stuff. And really, a tick bite versus a mosquito bite. Where is the more riskier health piece, right?
And it's important to say also that there have been no confirmed cases, human cases of West Nile virus, right? This was evidence of it found in a mosquito, and it's one case in Pittsfield. And it does happen. I don't think we've had any, human cases recently. Obviously, it's something you want to avoid. But just generally speaking about the mosquito control program, do you feel like it's effective in its current form? I know a lot of communities throughout Berkshire County have either left or decided not to join the Berkshire County Mosquito Program. I don't know if the science is actually there in terms of what they do. I don't think anybody wants to see spraying because, open spraying like that brings back too many, bad memories of the chemicals that they sprayed in the 50s and 60s. And I don't know personally that we've even proven that the stuff they're spraying now is safe, right? And I think a lot of people have questions about that. The larvicide, it seems like that's worthwhile because you're not sort of putting a lot of, people in danger of breathing all this in.
I'm trying to think of the numbers. I had just looked at the cherry sheet numbers. It might be 198,000. That's an assessment charge for the mosquito control program.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if I ask this question, I'm going to get thousands of different answers. Mm-hmm. But preventative maintenance to minimize the number of mosquitoes we have for a quality of life, is it worth 200,000 or not?
Right.
And you get many different answers to that, but those that say it's not, when we have that perfect storm, like we did 2 years ago, mm-hmm. everybody was screaming, I can't sit on my back porch. Mm-hmm. I can't sit on my deck. What are you going to do for me?
Right. And then you don't have the option available.
Right. Then, mm-hmm. then it's not there. Right. Right. And so the more that we do to prevent, you know, obviously, the city has taken a much less aggressive approach on spraying. But mm-hmm. if we do meet a certain threshold, the state will mandate it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so,
and some of that is also health board related,
correct,
as well. So,
right, right.
And that's, again, an independent board that doesn't answer to your administration, right? It's they make their own decisions.
Well, it's that funky thing that you appoint them.
Yes.
But they have the autonomy to do what they want.
Right.
So if they go rogue on you, I guess you can replace them, right?
Eventually.
But, I mean, I think my relationship with the Board of Health has been really good, both from mosquito control. You know, Director Camby and I were just talking about mosquitoes mm-hmm. the other day. We talk about the new community health workers mm-hmm. that will be hitting the streets and the program. You know, the Board of Health saw that we were in a place where maybe we can help.
Right.
They offered, I think the solution that they've provided is better than what we had. And, you know, teamwork makes the job much easier.
Yeah. Mayor Peter Marchetti, my guest here on Morning Drive this morning on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. A couple good things happening in downtown Pittsfield. Always nice to see that some new businesses and new additions are happening. So news in the last week that the Beacon Cinema is going to be expanding to a seventh screen, taking away that cafe space, right, that was in the front
Correct.
Of the Kresge and Cannell building. So that sounds like good news to me.
Well, good news and bad news,
yeah.
right? Everybody lost one of their favorite
yeah.
lunch places. More good news to follow
mm-hmm.
With that lunch space. I you know, once they've settled and are ready to fully announce, then a rebirth of Marketplace will take place. So Beacon Cinema, another stage, the former Jay Allen's building,
mm-hmm.
Becoming Aura,
right?
And so a breakfast lunch place with a tapas bar at nighttime.
And that's by the same folks that run Sabarita's, right?
Correct.
So
yep. And then the old Ponchos,
becoming the grand
mm-hmm. Piano Seafood restaurant, bar.
That's innovative for downtown Pittsfield. I wouldn't have guessed that.
No, I wouldn't either. I know that the owner is really working hard.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there's some...
And he's a veteran restaurateur also.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There'll be some bumps in the road for this project as we clear through the liquor license problems. Mm-hmm. And we have... at least for this particular case, like a roadmap to follow, because we had the same issue some time ago with another downtown restaurant where the license belongs to the tenant that runs the business, not the property owner.
Okay.
And so mass law does not allow two liquor licenses on the same location.
Because it's in the same building,
because
essentially.
The same location. Yeah,
same location.
Same spot.
Yeah, okay.
Completely the same spot. So same building, probably could get away with it because Suite A and Suite B, but it's the exact same location. And so there's a little bit of work to do there to secure a liquor license and maybe a little bit of a bump in the road. But again, the ABCC controls that process.
Right.
And
liquor licensing in Pittsfield and Massachusetts just seems like a patchwork of different rules. It's very hard to navigate. And we watch the licensing board meetings here, and it's just amazing what it takes to get someone a liquor license. Like all you need to do is say you are licensed to sell liquor, whatever it is, beer and wine or full alcohol, whatever. And yet, you know, these licenses are controlled by people that previously owned them. Like there's a value to the license rather than just a, hey, when you're in business, you can get a license. And then when you're out of business, you don't have a license anymore. And then the city can give you a license when you're starting something else. It's not common sense like that. It drives us nuts.
Well, so the problem goes back decades.
Well, of course, right. Prohibition.
Where we limited the number of licenses that we have.
Yeah.
And so
when we lose a license, you can't bring it to someone else who wants to start a new restaurant
Correct.
Or a new business.
And so
crazy.
Right. And so when you have kind of a turnover, there's a couple options that someone has, and one is to surrender it.
Yeah.
Which means bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Gone forever.
Mm-hmm. Transfer it to another property or sell it.
Yeah.
And if you have that piece of paper, and I want that piece of paper, and I can't find that piece of paper anyplace else, the negotiation becomes difficult because I'm at the losing end of the negotiation.
Right.
And so to me,
and the value of these things, like I would imagine, it depends on what supply and demand.
Correct.
I mean, why should a liquor license have a supply and demand issue? It doesn't make any sense.
But like I've considered a few times of having a conversation with Representative Farley Bouvier and saying, can we do a home rule petition to add licenses to the city of Pittsfield? Mm-hmm. Because why should we stunt growth? But if you did that, all of the people that are currently holding licenses would put up some strong opposition because it watered down their license.
Yeah.
Well,
it's almost impossible to extract us from this problem, right? If the things have value to begin with and someone paid to get access to this, they're always going to be against the reversal of it, always.
But if you want a community to grow, right? People say there's nothing to do here. Yes. We need more nightlife.
For the greater good. Absolutely.
Well, a juice bar, because if you don't have a liquor license available. And so, you know, it's funky.
We're not going to solve it on Morning Drive, unfortunately.
No,
but
I'm probably not going to solve it at City Hall either, because it's a state-driven problem. But, you know, I think the concept is great. And again, with liquor licenses, is it a full-on liquor license? Is it a
beer and
malt and wine
license?
Is it a seasonal license? Is it a downtown district license that you can then potentially convert to something? But in this particular business case, the issue isn't even going to be about what can I do to help him, because there's already an existing license on that property.
Right.
So until that license is either surrendered, transferred, or sold.
Mm-hmm. Can't do anything.
Can't do anything.
Yeah. Crazy. Mayor Peter Marchetti, my guest here this morning on Morning Drive. And in the last couple of minutes we've got, let's end with some good news. The Citizens Academy is starting up again. Give us a little quick overview of what that is and how people can get involved.
Sure. There's a Citizens Academy page, or at least the press release is on the website, pittsfieldma.gov. Catherine Van Bramer, the Director of Administrative Services, and our Chief Publicity Officer, public media person, is the one who runs it. The course runs for 12 weeks. It starts in City Hall with a kind of basic overview of Pittsfield city government. You know, we have X number of wards. We have X number of counselors. Night one is usually the mayor and the council president that talk about their roles and what their jobs are and what they do. School committee sometimes joins us on night one.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are meetings either in City Hall or all across the city at various different departments, so folks can learn what departments are responsible for what. Mm-hmm. And, I know police and fire. I know finance and administration. I know city clerk. I know airport. Public services all are kind of play a role in this piece. And, you know, it's a great opportunity to learn about who does what.
Mm. It's a great introduction to your municipal government and how things work here in the city. So it's how long of a...
It's 12 weeks.
12 weeks.
It runs 6 to 8 every Thursday for 12 weeks, starting sometime in August, running through, I think, the first Thursday in November.
Wow. It's a great plan, a great program that people should get involved with. If they want to sign up for that, how do they do that?
They can go online, PittsfieldMA.gov, go to the press release, and there's an online registration application to be filled out. You need to either live or work in Pittsfield to participate. Yep. But
no cost, though.
No cost.
Yep. Great plan. All right. Mayor Peter Marchetti, thanks again for being here this morning, enlightening us on all the things happening. And I hope you managed to avoid the smoke today as well.
Thank you. You as well.
All right, everybody. Take care. We will see you tomorrow here on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield Community Radio. Take care.